Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, October 20th. Well, everybody on the radio sure seems to be talking about the debates and our cubbies. But having said that, we're going to pick up some other news out of the Decatur Herald and Review, beginning with a front page article out of Springfield written by Dan Petrella, who's the Springfield Bureau Chief. Lawmakers offer ethics legislation. Proposal bans agency leaders from politicking. A bipartisan pair of state senators are introducing legislation that would ban directors of state agencies and other high-level gubernatorial appointees from using their official authority or influence to sway elections. Announcing the proposal Wednesday at State House News Conference, State Senators Andy Menar, Democrat of Bunker Hill, and Sam McCann, a Republican of Plainview, touted it as an important expansion of the state's ethics laws. Menar said the measure will close a gaping hole in existing law and is similar to restrictions at the federal level and in other states. I'm of the opinion that agency directors should not spend their time campaigning, he said. They should spend their time managing the agencies that they have been entrusted to run and to manage when the Senate confirmed their appointments. The proposal wouldn't place new restrictions on officials' financial contributions to campaigns. The announcement comes during a tough election season, one in which Wayne Rosenthal, director of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, has appeared in a radio ad for State Representative Avery Bourne, a Republican of Raymond. Bourne is running against Democrat Mike Mathis of Gillespie for Rosenthal's former House seat, to which he was appointed when Governor Bruce Rauner tapped Rosenthal to lead the state agency. In the ad, Rosenthal calls Mathis, a former circuit court clerk and Democratic Party chairman in Macoupin County, quote, a career politician who will do or say anything to get elected, end quote. He doesn't identify himself by his current state position. The Department of Natural Resources declined to comment. In a written statement, Bourne noted Rosenthal's service in the Illinois Air National Guard and the General Assembly. It's clear that Wayne is passionate about Central Illinois, and I share his commitment to defending our values at the Capitol, she said. I'm honored to have his endorsement and hope to continue his record of service to the people of Central Illinois. McCann said he and Menar began discussing the idea during the spring primary season when constituents contacted them both about Department of Agriculture Director Raymond Poe appearing in ads for McCann's opponent. The lawmaker said the issue isn't about any one election or party, noting that Menar testified on Rosenthal's behalf at his Senate confirmation hearing, and McCann testified on Poe's behalf. This is good government, McCann said. This is what we should do, regardless of who's in control. Rauner spokeswoman Catherine Kelly wrote in an email that the governor, quote, welcomes any discussion to reform our political process, like constitutional amendments on fair legislative district maps and term limits, end quote. Senate Minority Leader Christine Rodogno, a Republican of Lamont, issued a statement saying that the proposal may be too narrow. If we are to consider legislation to ensure accountability to the taxpayers, we should consider the same restrictions be placed on taxpayer-paid appointees to boards and commissions, term limits, and redistricting reform, Rodogno said. Menar and McCann's proposal is modeled on the federal Hatch Act, a 1939 law that limits the political activities of federal employees. Similar laws exist in 43 other states. local retailers getting online with marketing. This is an article written by Chris Lusvardi, who's an HR staff writer. Small Business Saturday will be focus of effort. A marketing campaign will soon be getting underway aimed at increasing support for retailers in the Decatur area, particularly during the upcoming holiday shopping season. The Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce is coordinating efforts to promote Small Business Saturday, which is scheduled for November 26th. As part of a Decatur Leadership Institute project, it is looking for businesses to partner in the promotion throughout November, said Jared Cox, the Chamber's events and sponsorship coordinator. The Buy Local campaign is starting to become more of a mindset, Cox said. It's starting to grow. Brick and mortar stores are the backbone of any community. For more information about how to get involved, Cox said to go to www.decaturchamber.com or call 217-422-422. 2200. He said some of the marketing materials will be provided as part of the National American Express promotion of small businesses. Much of the marketing locally will be done through social media, Cox said. Social media can benefit businesses throughout the year as participants Wednesday in a retail roundtable held at the Decatur Area Arts Council discussed. The Secret Garden at 664 West El Dorado Street uses its Facebook page to list different first names who qualify for daily specials when visiting the store, co-owner Lori Barrett said. The promotion has helped to boost its Facebook following to nearly 10,000 users, Barrett said. It has really helped, Barrett said. This is a good way to get them in the door. Ray Fields, co-owner of several area Papa Murphy's locations, including the one at Mound Center in Decatur, created the Central Illinois Pizza Man page to promote the business. Fields said posting videos can be eye-catching, and he is able to track how engaged customers are with what's being promoted. Maintaining an active online presence can help with the goal of leading more footsteps into businesses, said Mark Sturgill, the Chamber's program director. It increases the likelihood a shopper will come visit you, Sturgill said. They now know the store. That's the first step to get them to the store. Developing customer loyalty is a key component of business marketing plans, Sturgill said. The goal is to keep being top of mind, Sturgill said. Developing loyal customers can mean more revenue. The owners of the Brass Horn men's clothing store in downtown Decatur have tried to create an inviting environment with the way they treat and care for customers. It's like inviting somebody into your home, George Streckfuss said. We're doing something right that we have loyal customers who keep coming back. Ryan Spurlock said the way its customers are dressed is distinct, which helps create the loyalty as they care about helping customers dress well. We turn now to also some local news in the local section of the Decatur Herald and Review. We start with an article by Ryan Voiles, who's an HR staff writer. Township down a trustee. Susan Gant Reynolds resigns after moving. Salary cuts aggravate. The Decatur Township Board of Trustees is down a member after the resignation of Susan Gant Reynolds. The lone Republican on the board, Reynolds notified the board last week of her resignation due to her moving out of the township. The resignation, sent October 12th, goes into effect immediately. In a resignation letter, Reynolds said she hopes the board will continue to be fiscally responsible and expressed fear that income loss from a declining tax base would necessitate a future tax increase. The residents of the Decatur Township deserve responsible management of their tax dollar, Reynolds said. With her resignation, the board will need to appoint a replacement to fill the remainder of Reynolds' term, which goes until next spring. Any appointment would have to be from the Republican Party, and Reynolds recommended the board appoint Michael Sexton to her term. Sexton, who currently serves on the Decatur Library Board, has twice served 4-year terms as township trustee. But when asked about Reynolds' recommendation, Township Supervisor Lisa Stanley was noncommittal to Sexton and did not rule out looking at other options. The board is likely to appoint a new trustee at its November 2nd meeting. If the vote is tied, then Clerk Ada Owens would hold the tie-breaking vote. Reynolds' resignation just a week after she joined trustees Amy Roof and Debbie Sheets in approving salary cuts to all elected township positions, a move that irked Stanley and trustee Michael Smith. Before the meeting, Stanley checked with Reynolds to follow up on word that the latter had already moved out of the township, which would have made her ineligible to vote on the salaries. In an email obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request, Reynolds told Stanley 2 days before that meeting, October 5th, that her home in the township was still on the market, but not yet sold, and that she had not completely moved out. Therefore, she was still a resident of the township and eligible to hold the trustee position. The fallout from that October 5th meeting is still resonating through, as Stanley confirmed this week that she has filed a complaint with the Illinois Attorney General's office, alleging with video proof that the three trustees who supported the cuts meeting before the public meeting, which would be a violation of the Open Meetings Act. The complaint was news to Roof when contacted Wednesday afternoon, who denied any sort of meeting occurred. She said she talked with Reynolds in the past about making salary cuts to better align the township with others across the state and to offset the expected loss of $76,000 of annual revenue once Lutheran Child and Family Services of Illinois moves out of the township facility. None of the discussions would have been a violation of the Open Meetings Act, she added. Pillows perk up pediatrics patients. Eisenhower students fashion pillowcases for kids in St. Mary's. Another article written by Valerie Wells, H&R staff writer. Hospitals are scary enough for children who probably don't completely understand why they're there and what all the equipment is. Kids at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital will soon have a bit of comfort to help them through the experience. Students in Eisenhower High School's fashion class are making bright and cheerful pillowcases to donate to the pediatrics department, and when the children go home from the hospital, they can take their pillowcase with them. We've got about 60 of them, said Patricia Brackett, who teaches the class, which is part of the Consumer and Family Science Department. This is for them to have a community project, and since we're close to St. Mary's, I figured it was something we could do. The material was all donated, and they didn't have to have any expense for their first project. Fashion 2 students share the class with Fashion 1 students who are just learning their way around a sewing machine. But after the summer off, even the more advanced students needed something simple to make to help them get back into the swing of things. Their next project is a clothing item with a waistband, which is a bit tricky, so the practice is necessary. The students will have to buy their own materials for that project. I thought we would take some time to let them get back into sewing, Brackett said. Alexis Smith learned a new way to put the contrasting trim inside the main color to hide the seam and showed a classmate what she was doing, while Brackett taught another student to put her pins into her material horizontally instead of vertically so she can sew over them instead of removing them as she sews the seam. In the main classroom, the stack of finished pillowcases is growing daily, and a clothesline hangs across the windows where freshly ironed cases are hung before being folded and added to the stack. It's something they can lay their head on, and it's something cheery they can take home with them, Brackett said. A pillowcase doesn't age out the way a stuffed animal does. Later this week, the students will visit the hospital to deliver their work in person. That Valerie Wells has been busy, the next article is also written by her. Dentist students put government lessons to test. Candidates make their cases to be elected school office holders. Political candidates often make flowery promises they can't keep once they're in office, but the student senate candidates at Dentist School on Wednesday tried to keep their speeches realistic. "I want to create a more captivating environment at school," said Danielle McKay, an eighth grader seeking the office of president. "I'm going to be asking students what they'd like to do and how they'd like to do it." Student Senate, said Treasurer candidate Kevin Kochel, has some influence on activities, though of course everything has to be approved by Principal Matt Andrews. "What a great job they did," Andrew said at the end of the rally. "I want you to internalize what they said. This isn't a popularity contest. Think about what they said before you vote." Students in 3rd through 8th grade at Dennis are eligible to run for office, though all the candidates will be part of the Student Senate, said Sue Phillips, the faculty advisor. As part of the project-based learning unit dubbed Rock the Vote, the students in 3rd, 4th, and 5th grades have been studying the presidential election and enjoying visits from local legislators. Their driving question is, how can we learn about the election process and hold an election at Dennis Lab School? As part of their social studies, they've learned about the responsibilities and powers of the branches of government, important constitutional provisions, other systems of government, how policies are developed, and use skills in writing, collaborative discussions, and critical thinking. "It's awesome," said fifth grader Leona Woodland, running for president. "I'm learning about being a candidate and the process of campaigning." Olivia Swords, an eighth grader, only came to Dennis last year and wasn't familiar with the student government, but she's running for president because she said the process will give her important leadership skills. "I have never really done anything like this, but I have such a great interest in government and how it works, and I want to have a career in it. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to start off and sort of try my hand at it," she said. Last year, at his former school, Jonah Tolbert was treasurer, and his teacher suggested he should give Student Senate a try at Dennis, too. He said, I'll give it a try, and decided to try for vice president this year. The stage was packed for the campaign rally, the culminating event, when candidates gave their final speeches before voting began. There were several candidates for each of the offices. "I've never had such a good turnout of candidates," Phillips said. "As a teacher, I feel it's wonderful they are so prepared." I'm returning to the front page of the Decatur Herald and Review to pick up an article out of Springfield written by Tony Reed, because I've had some experiences with this, and I bet you have too. Electricity suppliers starting to feel the heat, regulators proposing rules as sales tactics draw more complaints. State regulators are charging in with proposed new rules to short-circuit complaints ranging from outright fraud to misleading practices and aggressive selling among retail electric suppliers. These are the companies that compete with each other and traditional utilities such as Ameren, Illinois, to sell power in the state's now deregulated electricity marketplace. Some customers have complained of finding themselves saddled with contracts where the rates jump to 6 times the rate charged by their regulated utility. Others have fumed over having their power supplier switch without their knowledge and not finding out until hefty bills begin arriving. The Illinois Commerce Commission, which oversees the state's power system, has drafted proposed rule changes that mandate customers must be told in writing when bills tied to variable rates are about to jump by 20% or more. The retail electric suppliers must also disclose a 12-month price history behind any offer and give warning in writing and by telephone when a contract is about to be renewed. They must also disclose by comparison if a new contract's terms differ from the old one. Among other suggested rule changes are allowing customers to cancel contracts without penalty fees if the company cannot prove the customer authorized the switch. And all company sales agents will have to go through a uniform training program that will be developed by the ICC staff. The rule changes were announced at the end of September, but still need the approval of the Illinois General Assembly's Joint Committee on Administrative Rules. Approval could come by early 2017, but lobbyists from the power supply industry are expected to make a fight of it. One trade group, the Retail Energy Supply Association, has already weighed in. In comments filed with the ICC, the association said any abuses could be dealt with by rules already in place, and it warned imposing lots of new requirements on the electric suppliers will saddle them with huge expenses and threaten their ability to compete. The association said the ICC has failed to justify a need for stringent changes in a marketplace in which customers are free to pick winners and losers by voting with their feet. And it warns the ICC is in danger of draining the competitive power out of that marketplace. Quote, a situation could one day arise where RESs, that's retail energy suppliers, products, are no longer able to compete in the market or against default utilities service, the association told the ICC. Ultimately, this will greatly diminish the benefits competition has brought consumers in Illinois. But the Citizens Utility Board, a consumer watchdog group, said abuses in the marketplace do need to be reined in with new rules, and it pushed for and welcomed the ICC action. CUB said complaints about the practices of retail electric suppliers are now the largest source of customer angst it deals with. Complaints run the gamut from pressure tactics to really misleading and aggressive marketing to things that are just fraud, said David Collada, CUB's executive director. It's made the marketplace much more dangerous for consumers than it should be. That's why I think you need to have strong new rules, and it's also why the ICC stood up and took action, he added. Have you had that experience yet? If not, it won't be long before you probably do experience. We come now to some crime news written by Huey Freeman, who's an H&R staff writer who focuses on crime and courts in the area. Man accused of attacking two women. Freddie D. Taylor, a 33-year-old Decatur man, entered not guilty pleas Wednesday to six felony counts that allege he punched one woman in the face and threw another woman to the ground after stealing her rent money. About 8:30 p.m. April 30th, a 29-year-old woman was parked in her van, which was also occupied by her children and a friend, in a driveway on North Walnut Grove Avenue. The woman and her children had an order of protection against Taylor. Freddie walked up to the vehicle and began yelling at her, the woman later told police, according to an affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Eric Havens. As he repeatedly screamed epithets, I can never get that word right, obscenities, I think, at her, she drove slowly away from the driveway where she had parked to visit a relative. Freddie walked along the vehicle yelling at her, she told the police. She stopped the vehicle near an intersection and got out and told Freddie to leave her alone, end quote. Taylor responded by pushing her down and hitting her in the face. Her friend got out of the van and succeeded in getting Freddie off of her, Havens wrote in a statement. Taylor was placed on the police department's people wanted list. About 6 a.m. September 4th, a different woman woke up in her apartment and noticed her bank envelope filled with $350 was missing from its hiding spot. She said Taylor took it because he was the only person who had been in her apartment since she placed it there, said an affidavit by patrol officer Randy Clem. She found him at a nearby apartment and confronted him about the theft. He denied it, saying he only had $4. She noticed that his pants pocket was bulging. When she felt his pocket, she discovered what she believed was wadded up money. As she exited the apartment, she said she was going to call the police. He ran toward her, grabbed her from behind by the neck, and threw her to the ground, she told police. Taylor was booked in the Macon County Jail, where he is being held on $50,000 bond. He was arraigned October 4th on 3 counts of domestic battery with a prior domestic battery conviction and 1 count each of aggravated battery, theft with a prior theft conviction, and violation of an order of protection with a prior domestic battery conviction. It's a lot of convictions. Taylor is due in court for a pretrial hearing on November 22nd. And let's go to a couple of briefs we have. The first is on drug collection. The Decatur Police Department will be holding a prescription drug disposal event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, this coming Saturday, October 22nd, at its headquarters, 707 West Southside Drive. It is partnering with the Drug Enforcement Administration, or DEA, in an effort to prevent pill abuse and theft. Potentially dangerous, expired, unused, and unwanted prescription drugs will be collected free of charge and anonymously. Only pills or patches will be accepted. And Wall of Fame nominations are being accepted for the Wall of Fame at the Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. The submissions will be accepted through Monday, November 7th. The recognition is intended to honor individuals who have made a substantial contribution and impact on the Decatur-Macon County community. The Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce is chairing the Wall of Fame Selection Committee. Honorees will be recognized Tuesday, November 22nd, during the community Thanksgiving luncheon. For more information, contact the chamber at 217-422-2200. And finally, a bicycle valued at more than $580 was stolen just after midnight Tuesday from outside a home in the 1500 block of North Church Street in Decatur, according to Decatur Police. Written reports say the 54-year-old owner of the bicycle had a suspect in mind, and police are continuing to investigate. Well, we're out of time for this first half hour. Hope you can stick around for the second. If not, it's been a pleasure reading with you after a long absence. I'm glad to be back, and I look forward to reading with you again next week. For those of you who are staying, hang around. We'll be back in just a second after this break.